This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. We were telling you yesterday about the sorry state of education in the juvenile justice system. Marketplace's Adrian Hill went up to Wyoming to have a look at how they're adjusting to new federal guidelines that call for the kinds of educational technology that are common outside locked-up facilities. Today, the challenges of bringing computers and internet access into a big urban system with kids who've committed violent crimes. Adrian picks up the story in San Diego County.
San Diego's Kearny Mesa Juvenile Detention Facility feels a lot like an adult prison. Kids exercise in a courtyard surrounded by high fences and barbed wire. Probation officers, who double as security guards, keep close watch. In hallways, offenders are forbidden from making eye contact with adults. They turn and face the wall as we pass. Nearly every door has a heavy lock on it, including the classrooms. But behind these locked doors, that sense of powerlessness eases a little. In a social science class, kids discuss the tension between freedom and security, and the differences between ethos, pathos, and logos.
So when they use a word like, let's say something like threatening our freedoms, how does that sound?
That's pathos.
Why?
Because it's showing emotion.
And they're reading from and making notes on new laptops. Since July of 2013, San Diego County has spent nearly $900,000 on bringing computers, printers, and software into secure juvenile facilities. Soon, every one of the 200 kids here will have access to a Chromebook in class. All the teachers are being trained in adding tech to the curriculum. But getting to this point took more than a big investment. It took a significant culture shift.
At first, we were a little nervous, I'm not going to lie.
That's Mindy McCartney. She's one of the probation staff charged with keeping the youth here under control. Kids who've committed everything from petty crimes to murder.
Everybody thinks they're going to use it as a frisbee, or they're going to attack somebody, or they're going to tag it up or scratch it and break it. And it just simply hasn't really happened.
There was also anxiety about turning the internet on, even though there were firewalls and monitoring systems in place.
From a probation standpoint, we hear internet and access, and we automatically get very paranoid and think the worst case scenarios.
But so far, she says, they haven't had significant problems. Kids aren't using laptops as weapons. They're not sneaking messages to gang members on the outside. The teachers I spoke with say that technology has made their students more engaged, which is progress the juvenile justice system nationwide desperately needs to make. Peter Leone is a professor at the University of Maryland College of Education and a juvenile justice expert. He says, historically, education inside secure facilities...
It's been abysmal.
For years, the focus has been on punishing kids rather than teaching them.
You know, I've been to places where a significant number of the youth had no education services at all.
Facilities without full school days, or places where kids didn't earn credit for their work.
Because the correctional school was not approved by the state education agency to offer credit.
Many incarcerated kids enter the system already failing in school or far behind. When they leave, they're often worse off. Late last year, the federal government put out guidance making clear to states and school districts that locked-up students have the right to a good education. Along with better teachers and more funding, the feds want to see more educational technology in juvenile justice facilities. San Diego is one of a growing number of places nationally attempting to make that happen.
And so when they're persuading us, when they're
in many ways, the promises of educational technology line up with the needs of kids in custody. Students who've committed crimes are constantly being yanked in and out of class.
Ethos, pathos, and logos. So let's look at this for a few minutes.
Alvarez and Barnes.
They have court hearings, meetings with probation officers.
We do have a population that moves around a lot.
Yolanda Collier teaches here. She says when students have their own computers and some lessons are online, kids don't have to fall behind.
If she wasn't here that day, I don't have to stand in front of the class and play a whole video over again. She can sit at her seat with her earphones and listen to the video and catch up on the information that she missed while we were while she was out of class.
Digital learning tools can also help overcome one of the toughest challenges in education at a juvenile facility. Teachers often have a classroom of students at all different grade levels. Students with learning disabilities, behavior problems, students with needs all over the map.
We're blended, so we have some direct instruction, some independent learning.
That's teacher Sarah Haffey.
Over here we have a young lady who is enrolled in community college online. So she's taking computer science.
Another girl is a month away from finishing high school. And there's Jocelyn, whose full name we won't use to protect her privacy. She's way behind both of them.
Well, I came in here with a little bit of credits because I wasn't going to school on the outs. So in here, I'm like really low on credits.
91% of kids who come into San Diego's facilities aren't reading at grade level. Many are a semester, even a year behind in school. Because like Jocelyn, they weren't going.
It feels good. Like, I feel like I'm able, like, I actually accomplished something. Like, I earned, like, 40 to 50 credits in here as long as I've been here. So, I mean, that's a lot to me. And, like, I think it makes me feel, like, a sense of smartness, maybe, that I'm getting there.
It's too early to tell if San Diego's education experiment will pay off for the students. But there is one less obvious way. Technology's already made things better. Handing troubled kids computers sends a signal.
I think they feel valued. I think it shows that we value them and respect them.
That's teacher Jackie Smith.
I think that's why you don't see some of the things that was originally expected.
It's a sign, she says, that the institution is willing to invest in their future and that it's up to them to invest in it, too. I'm Adrienne Hill for Marketplace.